Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 John chapter number 1. This is a part of our Wednesday night series, and I don't know how long it'll last or where all it will go for sure. How many of you remember we introduced it 2 weeks ago. How many of you remember the title of the series? Anybody remember? Church, Faith, Fellowship, and Family. Faith, Fellowship, and Family. I'll be dealing with fellowship tonight. I will not take these in any particular order. I'll take them as God lays them on my heart. There's several things that He's laid on my heart already, and this is the one that I felt He would have us to take on tonight. Dealing with fellowship tonight. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to realize this is written from John the Apostle, John the Beloved. One of the three, we would call him of the inner circle with the Lord Jesus Christ. If they went up on a mountain to pray, the other disciples stayed behind. James, John, and Peter went on ahead with Christ. He was one of those three. This is the one that sat next to Jesus in our terminology that we would use today for supper. He was one that was right next to Jesus. So he's describing what they had in their experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's read it again with that in mind. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. He didn't have to take it from somebody else. He heard the Lord Jesus Christ himself, which we have seen with our eyes. He wanted to make sure that you know that he's an eyewitness. Which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. Notice the word is capitalized, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it does in John chapter 1. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let me just give you a little bit of clarification. It's not really part of the message, but it's important we understand the difference in those two verses. Book of 1 John and 2 John, 3 John, all three of them are written to believers, but there are references from time to time to the lost. Verse number 8 is to the believer. If we say we have no sin, you and I will not reach a sinless perfection until we see the sinless perfect one face to face. Then we'll have sinless perfection, but not right now. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In other words, what's in our heart is not that which is true. We're running on a lie is what we're doing if we say we have no sin. Then he tells us what happens if we confess our sin. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, that's a lost person. Notice the difference. We make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's entirely different than the truth not being in us. So just to clarify those two things tonight. I want to preach or teach or whatever we want to call it tonight. I'm going to try to talk. That's what I'm going to try to do on this. Baptist Bible Fellowship. I probably just got some people all excited, but not most of you, because you know I like to play tricks with titles. So anyway, Baptist Bible Fellowship, we're going to have some fun tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the message that you've given me. I pray, Lord, that you'll enable me to be able to preach through your Spirit and that you give me the power and the strength and the the voice to be able to preach tonight. Meet with us tonight as we go through your word. Speak to our hearts through your Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It has been said that a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So apparently a lot of men are Baptist. Because Baptists like to eat. And apparently not just men. So the phrase must not just hold true for men, it must be for ladies also. Seems like when Baptists get together for anything besides a church service, there's food. It's just one of those things. We get together, we bring out food sometimes for a church service, not during the church service, hopefully, but we'll have food after sometimes, things like that. And I've heard the jokes, you know, Baptist means food, food means Baptist, stuff like that. But I've also read jokes on the Methodist pages and Lutheran pages, and they say the same thing. So I think it's just a human thing. We like to eat. And so we get together, and we have food when we get together. So the question tonight that I want to pose is this. What is fellowship? What is fellowship? Let me give you some common answers or some common thought on fellowship. One person said it's two fellas in the same ship. Understand what he's saying. He's talking spiritually, two fellows in the same ship. If you're in the same ship, you're going the same direction. But I've seen two fellows in the same ship, so to speak, that weren't really going the same direction, even though physically they were going the same direction. So we couldn't necessarily call that fellowship. Two people walking together, I've seen that, also not exactly fellowship. A group of like-minded people together for any reason could be fellowship. Handshaking time. That's fellowship. Some people think fellowship is a room in the church designated for eating ice cream, socials, and get-togethers. So we call it a fellowship hall. A potluck dinner. They don't call them those in Colorado anymore. They have new names for those. They're renaming Mile High Stadium also, I heard. Fellowship is a meeting at a restaurant after church. So, tonight I want to talk about what I'm calling Baptist Bible Fellowship. Now, so that you can get it out of your mind, I will address the organization called the Baptist Bible Fellowship at some point during the message so that you understand, because it has to do with fellowship and it has to do with where we stand on fellowship. But I want to break this message down this way. We are Baptist. We're Baptist for good reasons. Not just because it's convenient. There are some out there that are Baptist just because nobody tells a Baptist what to do. And I don't mean that arrogantly. I mean it this way. There's no hierarchy or no council over an independent Baptist church telling them what to do so they can practice their faith or their religion the way that they want to do it, and therefore you have some people like the Westboro quote-unquote Baptists that really aren't all that Baptist. They do hold to some Baptist doctrine, but they don't hold to Baptist tradition and biblical ways of worshiping God as a Baptist, and so we don't consider them Baptists, but we are Baptists, and as I said, there's a number of good reasons why we are. Probably the number one is that's what's in the Bible. I like to put it this way. I was born a Baptist, and I was. My parents were both Baptist. I remember hearing my dad talk about different things that he did even as a teenager before he was saved. Similar things to what I did as a teenager before I was saved. But they were Baptists. But I am still a Baptist because I've read the Bible. And the Bible teaches what we believe. Secondly, we are Bible. By that, I mean our faith, our practice, the things that we do are according to the Bible. The Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. If you want to know why we believe something, it's in here. And if it's not in here, we don't have any right or any privilege to preach it and to you might have the privilege of believing something if you want to that's not in the Bible, that you've come to some deduction that God's led you to, but we don't have the right or privilege to preach that to other people and tell them that it's God's word, because the Bible is God's word, and if it's not in the Bible, it's not God's word. So we're Bible, which is why we're Baptist. Therefore, our fellowship should be in keeping with what is Baptist, and it must be in keeping with what is according to the Bible. So I want to take a look at some scriptures tonight concerning fellowship. I think that you would agree that fellowship would be kind of a central theme of 1 John chapter number 1. Fellowship with God, fellowship with others. Walking in the light is a central theme of the book of first chapter of 1 John. That our joy might be full is a central theme. The Lord Jesus Christ is the central theme of the first chapter of 1 John chapter 1. But I believe that we could agree that probably that this is a predominant theme there in that first chapter. Hold your finger here and turn to Ephesians chapter 2 very quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 2, this is where we introduced this series from a couple weeks ago. Verse number 19. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. No more strangers and foreigners. So, if I can just remind you of this, what Paul writes to the Ephesian church is this. Keep in mind that on a map, and I have a hard time doing this backwards, so I'll just turn around so that you can see. On a map, we have the Mediterranean Sea, and then we have Israel. And up this way, up above Israel, we have the churches of Ephesus and Laodicea and Philippi and Colossae and all those churches that we see here in the New Testament that he's written these books to. These are the same saints that Peter wrote to in 1 Peter, where he said, to the saints scattered abroad throughout Cappadocia and Asia and all of these that he lists there. It's the same places. So these are displaced Jews from Jerusalem primarily, and those that they have, because they went everywhere preaching the gospel, those that they have converted to the gospel through their preaching and teaching as they've gone out. But Asia was not a friendly nation to the gospel in and of itself. And so here they are in this foreign nation, a foreign people, a foreign culture, and a foreign religious climate. And what they would say of themselves, or think of themselves, or we might say feel of themselves, is this: this is not my home. I'm just a stranger. I'm a foreigner here. It would be like me. I have never been off of U.S. soil. The closest I've been to getting off U.S. soil is I waded out into the Pacific Ocean just a little bit when we were over there in California. I think that's right. Yeah, that's the right ocean. Yeah, thank you. Pacific Ocean. I almost went into Canada, but it was after 9/11, and they told me if I went without a passport, I wouldn't get back in. So I didn't really feel like staying in Canada, and so I didn't go into Canada. But if I was to move to, say, Germany, I'd be a stranger. I'd be a foreigner. The only thing I know to say to a German person is nein. It means no. That's all I know in German, nein. Porsche, I know that. That's not a Porsche, nein. That's not nein Porsche. I would have a hard time, a very difficult time in a place like Germany. But here he's speaking more of the religious climate, if I can call it that, and you understand, I think, what I mean here. We're not about religion, we're about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible. But they were in a hostile and foreign religious climate. He says, now you're no more strangers and foreigners, because you've been brought together under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has fitly joined you together into this thing he calls a church, into this assembly that he brought together. And so he's telling them this: you're not strangers and foreigners in the church, you're fellowshipping. You're fellowshipping. And so here's some things that we need to understand about fellowship in light of these scriptures, the ones that we've already read in 1 John, which I'm back at. If you want to lose your place in Ephesians, you can. And the verse in 2 Peter, or in Ephesians there, that I wanted to just highlight on, Ephesians 2:19, about the strangers and foreigners. Our fellowship is something different than what we can find in the world. If they could find what they could find inside the church and find that same thing out in the world, he wouldn't have said anything about them being strangers and foreigners. It would have been irrelevant. We must not be surprised that we don't fit in with the world, that we can't fellowship with them in everything that they do, that we're going to have some starkly different beliefs and convictions. And so he is telling them, what you can have inside the church in fellowship is something different than what you can find in the world. The world has fellowship. They do. Two fellows in the same ship going the same direction. They're all going the same direction, in fact. But it's different than our fellowship. We are strangers. Peter put it this way: we're strangers and pilgrims in this world. This world is not my home. It's more than just a song. It's the truth that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. So we come apart from the world, and we come apart to those that we are not strangers and foreigners to, and we have fellowship. So we come inside, if I can put it this way, we come inside the four walls of North Woodlawn Baptist Church, or maybe we're having a class activity somewhere, and so we go somewhere with a group of our people, or we can just put it this way, where there's a group of our people, we can have like-minded fellowship together. Amen. And we don't have to be strangers. Now, Amos 3:3 says this: can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? When I became pastor of this church was still loosely, at least, I don't think it had been tightly affiliated with the Baptist Bible Fellowship for some time. But it's still loosely affiliated with the Baptist Bible Fellowship. We still got emails from Baptist Bible College over in Springfield. They still sent missionaries to us. We were like high on their calling list. When you're getting ready to go out as a missionary, call this church. They had the church's call. We were still in their directory and all that good stuff. But the Baptist Bible Fellowship is no longer Baptist, and it's not Bible either. And some time ago, we walked away from the Baptist Bible Fellowship. And in fact, I sent a letter to the Kansas Baptist Bible Fellowship that the heading on the top of the letter was Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I said, you made a clear stand in the last fellowship meeting that I wasn't even at, but I've heard from three different men exactly what was said. And I know who it came from. And I said, we're not going that direction. And because we're not going that direction, we can't have fellowship. Now, this last year, actually 2 or 3 years ago, they had their first meeting in the Wichita area in a non-Baptist church. Mark Hoover of New Spring preached the graduation last year at Baptist Bible College. They just rallied together to put a church planter in Dallas to start Victorious Church. They're not Baptist, and they're not Bible. And so that's why we don't that's why we don't go with the Baptist Bible Fellowship anymore. Now, I don't go there. I didn't go there tonight so that you could, you know, pat me on the back and say, good job, Pastor. I want you to understand this. If we are not together in agreement, we can't have fellowship. If we are together in agreement, we ought to have fellowship. So what sort of fellowship are we to have? 1 John. We find the word fellowship twice in verse number 3, once in verse number 6, and once in verse number 7. I've looked them up. They all mean the same thing. In fact, everywhere in the Bible where it says fellowship, it means the exact same thing. So here would be an underlying theme, maybe even an overbearing theme. Probably the theme that is right under the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is this. We can have fellowship one with another, and we can have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, based on that and based on them being grouped together, I'd say this. We can have better fellowship with one another if we have better fellowship with God. Well, how can we have fellowship with God? Let's look at it. Verse number 5. Excuse me. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Understand this, and I want to run through this fairly quickly tonight. God is light. It means he is pure, he is holy, he is without blemish, without error, without evil. That's what it means when it says he is light. It doesn't mean that he is some shining light up in the heavens, that's all he is. No, it's talking about his character. And so he is pure, he is holy, he is without evil, without error. And in him is, in case you had no doubt, and in him is no darkness at all. When I was studying for the message Sunday, I looked up some things on hell. And I ran across a site where somebody had said, can you give me a description of hell? One person's answer was, I can't say it exactly the way they put it, but one person's answer was something like this. That's the place where God will spend eternity when he's revealed for who he really is. God has no sin and no evil and no malintent, no hatred. The only thing God hates is sin. So if we then are to have fellowship with God, because he is light and in him is no darkness at all, verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, let me help you here. Again, he's not talking about sinless perfection. Because then we would all be liars. None of us would have fellowship with God. He's talking about the general walk of our life, or as the Bible puts it, the conversation of our life. That our conversation is a walk with God, walking in the light, that we would say this, we inhabit the things of righteousness instead of the things of the world. We are more inclined toward the things of God instead of the things of the world. We are happier walking with God than we are with the world. So if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So if we want to have fellowship with God, number one, we must be saved. Well, I don't know if so-and-so's a Christian or not, but or I don't know if so-and-so is saved or not, like we believe the Bible says that we need to be saved. I don't know if they're saved, but they sure are a good Christian person. Did you hear what's wrong with that? Christian means Christ-like. Actually, it means Christ follower. And the word Christian, the name Christian, was given to the disciples first at Antioch as a criticism because they insisted on walking in the way that Christ dictated before Christ gave his life on the cross. And they insisted in keeping with that way, and they said, you Christians, you're not a Christian if you're not saved. You're not Christ-like if you're not saved. You're not a Christ follower if you're not saved. Well, I don't subscribe to any one religion or anything, and I don't really read the Bible. I just try to follow Christ. Well, Christ said read the Bible. And by the way, Christ wasn't a subscriber to a religion either. He criticized the religious people. And he said, follow me. But that doesn't mean that everything that man says is right is wrong because man said it's right. If man says it's right because it's in here, then it's right. And we ought to follow after it. So if we're going to walk in the light, we first have to be saved. I know that kind of sounds like a no-brainer. Some of you saw it, I know, but I got just downright excited Monday. I went to Ray Avenue Baptist Church last week on Tuesday morning for a preacher's fellowship. I had a good preacher's fellowship meeting. The fellowship. The preacher there, the pastor of Ray Avenue Baptist Church, got saved Saturday. That's kind of awkward. And when he got saved and gave his testimony Sunday morning, his wife got saved. Amen. And so did 8 other adults in the church. And they just had the tribute quartet there. This, like Saturday, I think, Friday or Saturday. And one of the guys from the tribute quartet read his testimony on Facebook. And he put his testimony on Facebook yesterday that he just got saved. Because he saw this guy's testimony. Amen. He said, I'm tired of dealing with the doubts.
Amen.
You can look like you're walking with the Lord and having fellowship with him. But if you ain't, you ain't. And if you're not saved, you ain't. Miss Lambda's not here tonight. I can say that out loud. She can call me after she listens on the radio in the morning. Secondly, we must walk in the light as he walks in the light. That means we must have a desire to walk in righteousness and in right and to do the things that pertain to God instead of pertaining to the world. Some imagine because they faithfully attend church that they are in fellowship with God. Did you know that you can be a child of God and be out of fellowship with God? And sitting in church doesn't even make you a Christian, let alone in fellowship with God. It's a good place to go to become a Christian, because you'll hear about it all the time, at least you should. We cannot walk in darkness and still have fellowship with God. So our fellowship with one another is to be different than the fellowship that the world has, and should be an incentive and an encouragement for others to follow God and to have fellowship with God. Fellowship with God must be around the things of God. So I've got one more point here. Fellowship like God intended. Fellowship like God intended. You can lose your place here. Turn over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but I think it's worth mentioning again. We're closer today to the coming of the Lord than we were yesterday. I know that sounds silly, but it really is a fact. We're closer. I guarantee you we're closer today than we were yesterday. So that means that the day has approached at least one day closer. That means that we should be more in the spirit of Hebrews 10:25 today than we were yesterday. Or let's put it this way. People didn't attend Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night church back in the early 18 and 1900s. Well, we're closer to the coming of the Lord, and we might just need more of it than they did. Amen. But there's a particular word that I want to pull out of this, because I'm really not talking about church attendance so much tonight, because as I said, we can attend church all of our life and not be in fellowship with God at all. But let's look at a word here. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting. Now, Jesse, stand up here for me. I did. He's scared. He heard that word exhorting. Does your dad ever exhort you? Exhort you to get work done. Yeah, never mind. That's not part of the message. When we think of exhorting, that's what we think of, though, isn't it? In fact, exhorting can come across as mean-spirited if we're not careful. Because we can look at somebody and say, "What's wrong with you? Do you not get that this is what the Bible teaches?" And then we go to our friend, somebody else, especially pastors do this, by the way, and say, "Man, I really exhorted him to follow after God." Well, not necessarily. You might have just beat him down to where he has no motivation at all to follow God at that point. And sometimes we look at the word exhort and we think that we have a personal responsibility to correct everybody. But this word exhort doesn't mean that at all. The word fellowship, we've dwelt on that word fellowship. If we can just kind of summarize it here for a minute, it's two people or a group of people that are like-minded and going in the same direction. Can we agree on that? And they're together for encouraging and strengthening and building one another up. That's fellowship. Do you know what this word exhorting means? It means to draw one to me and take him with me. You know why? Because he wasn't going the same direction I was. But I didn't say, "March!" I pulled him to me and I said, "Let's have a walk together. Let's talk about your Bible reading." It may be better this way. "Let's talk about my Bible reading. Man, the Lord's really been talking to me through my Bible." You know what? If I start talking to him about all the things that the Lord has spoken to me about since the first of the year in my Bible reading, and even in some of the boring, hard, difficult passages like Leviticus, you know what he's going to say after a little bit? One of two things. Either this guy's crazy, or, "Man, I wish the Bible, I wish God would talk to me like that when I read my Bible." You know what I've done? I've encouraged him to take a step with me. "Hey, Jesse, I notice you haven't been in church much, but man, we've got a growing youth department, a growing singles department. There's girls coming to church." Godly girls.
You know what I just did? You take a big step together. You can sit down. It means this. Our fellowship has a purpose. Meeting at the Village Idiots for pie after church can be fellowship, but is not in and of itself fellowship. Having a Christmas dinner downstairs can be fellowship, but in and of itself it's not fellowship. Because fellowship is reaching out and bringing other, biblical fellowship is reaching out, bringing others alongside with us and encouraging them to walk the walk that we are enjoying with God. That should be Baptist. And it is Bible. And it is fellowship. That would mean some things. Church and all related activities related to church should be fellowship. Did you know that we can go play paintball and have fellowship? We can go fishing and have fellowship. Ladies can go shopping and have fellowship. Men don't fellowship when we shop. But ladies can fellowship and shop. You could call somebody up and have coffee with them in fellowship. You could call somebody up and have prayer with them on the phone and have fellowship. You could call somebody up and tell them that you just had prayer for them and you had fellowship. So fellowship would not have any exclusion of others. You know, when we go downstairs and we have quote-unquote fellowship dinners and stuff, I like to see who mixes it up just a little bit. In other words, I pay attention to who you sat by last time and who you're sitting by this time. Because if you're sitting by the same people every time, you're not having fellowship, you're having a meal. It's not fellowship. Because you're excluding others. Fellowship has no self-promotion. Fellowship only consists of that which lifts up God, exalting Christ with others, with the goal of encouraging them to do the same. That's Baptist, and it's Bible, and it's fellowship. And my voice is done. Brother Dan, will you dismiss us in prayer tonight?